This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Imagine a dish that is universally known across the globe as Army Stew.
Oh, man.
Right. Like, right now, you listening, you are probably picturing exactly what I pictured when I first heard that name.
Let me guess. Heavy, rugged, just meat-laden rations.
Exactly. You imagine this massive cast iron pot just boiling away in some bleak mess hall.
Yeah, filled with whatever cheap, tough cuts of beef or pork the quartermaster could get their hands on, right?
Right. But what if I told you that the official culinary data for this specific military staple explicitly bans beef, pork, and chicken from its baseline profile?
I mean, it completely shatters the illusion of what military food is supposed to be.
It really does.
You go in expecting this very specific kind of, I don't know, heavy culinary artillery, and instead you find a dish that is surprisingly light on its feet. It's highly adaptable and honestly structurally brilliant.
Exactly. So we got our hands on the raw data behind this recipe.
Okay.
Just the bare bones stats and foundational facts for a really famous Korean dish called budae jjigae.
Right, the classic.
Yeah, and we aren't looking at some food blogger's personal spin on it today. We are looking at the strict culinary facts that define what this dish actually is at its core.
Which is so important for curious home cooks, especially those outside Korea who want to understand the real mechanics of it.
Definitely. And our mission today for this deep dive is to extract that essential profile for you, the listener.
Because whether you're like an aspiring home cook looking for your next Tuesday night kitchen project,
or just someone fascinated by how history and culture actually translate into the food we eat.
Yeah, this specific set of facts is going to completely change how you view comfort food.
Okay, let's unpack this.
I think the most logical place to start is right at the front door, you know, the name.
The name, right.
Because how a dish is identified, how it's categorized in the culinary index, that sets up a massive psychological expectation, both for the person cooking it and the person sitting down to eat it.
Oh, for sure.
So the official Korean name is budae jjigae. For pronunciation, that's roughly budae jjigae.
Budae jjigae.
Close enough, yeah. And right away, the data categorizes it strictly, undeniably, under the umbrella of a stew.
And for anyone who wants to search for this online to see what it looks like, the official romanization you want to type into your search bar is budae jjigae.
Right.
But if you're using an English search engine, the global search hint that brings it up is simply Army Stew.
Yeah, the classic translation.
Now, we also have the official Spanish translation in our raw data, which I found super interesting. It's Guiso de Base Militar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which literally translates to military base stew.
Which is a very deliberate, very specific linguistic choice. I mean, they didn't just translate it as soldier's soup or combat stew.
Right.
They anchored it directly to the base itself.
It reminds me of how international film releases work.
Oh, like how they changed the titles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know how a movie will have one title here in the U.S., but when the studio releases it in France or Japan, they don't do a direct word-for-word translation.
Right. They tweak the title to convey a specific vibe.
Exactly. A cultural touchstone that makes sense for that local market. They want to capture the essence, not just the vocabulary.
That makes total sense.
So when we look at that English hint Army Stew versus the Spanish translation Guiso de Base Militar, what does that literal translation actually tell us about the core identity of this stew?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the translations actively anchor the dish in a highly institutional geographical setting. Like, a military base is a fixed location.
Right. It's a specific place.
It's an ecosystem of logistics, of supply chains. It's all about making do with whatever provisions happen to arrive in the commissary that week.
Oh, wow.
So when you name a dish after a military facility, you are immediately communicating a narrative to the diner. You're saying, you know, this food was born out of necessity, utility, and just absolute resourcefulness.
That makes a lot of sense. A base implies a community. It implies a group of people gathering around whatever limited supplies are available and figuring out how to make a real meal out of them. It's very different from a dish named after, say, a royal court or a delicate spring vegetable.
Precisely. It sets you up to understand exactly why this dish is categorized as a hearty functional stew rather than a delicate, precisely plated appetizer.
Right.
Stews are arguably the ultimate democratic food. If you think about the culinary mechanics of a stew for a second, you just need a pot, a a heat source, and a liquid medium that brings disparate elements together.
A unifying broth.
Exactly. The name alone tells you that you are dealing with a concept born out of practicality. Mm-hmm. It's about creating sustenance and, honestly, just as importantly, morale in an environment defined by limitation.
Okay, so if this was born on a military base out of pure utility, I am naturally expecting a recipe that reflects that harsh environment.
Like a massive undertaking.
Yeah, I'm expecting something that boils for 10 hours in a mess hall vat.
Yeah.
Right? Which leads us to the kitchen logistics. If you, the listener, decide to take on this dish in your own kitchen tonight, what does the actual deployment look like?
Well, the raw data gives us some very precise metrics for the home cook. And time and effort are just as critical to a recipe's profile as the actual ingredients.
Definitely.
So the estimated cooking time for boudin jjigae is listed at exactly around 40 minutes.
Wait, 40 minutes?
Yes, 40 minutes.
Wow.
And the difficulty level is officially rated as medium. Furthermore, the spiciness level is specifically, explicitly rated as mild.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, because I want to push back on this entirely.
Go for it.
When you hear the phrase military base stew, you naturally form assumptions based on the ruggedness of those words.
Sure.
If I'm a soldier on a base, or if I'm eating a dish inspired by that reality, I imagine a massive iron pot simmering away all day long, a process that takes 8 hours to break down whatever tough rations the kitchen was handed.
Right, the whole low and slow thing.
Exactly. Or, on the flip side, I imagine a rugged, mouth-scorching spice level designed to completely mask the taste of cheap, bland ingredients. Doesn't the military usually rely on heavy spices and long cook times? But the facts here totally contradict that assumption.
It completely subverts the aggressive, utilitarian connotations of the word army, doesn't it?
It really does. It's highly accessible. 40 minutes, medium difficulty, mild spice. This does not sound like a grueling mess hall ration.
No, it sounds like a fantastic Tuesday night dinner.
Right. I always look at a 40-minute cook time as the culinary equivalent of a single episode of a prestige TV drama.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, it requires a bit of your commitment. Like, you can't just throw a frozen block in the microwave and walk away. But it's absolutely not a weekend-long project. You can come home from work, turn on the stove, start an episode of your favorite show, and by the time the credits roll, you have a finished, complex stew.
And we really need to look at the mechanics of why that 40-minute window exists alongside a medium difficulty rating. That combination provides incredibly useful context for what is actually happening at your stove. If the recipe were rated easy, that implies a dump-and-go scenario.
Like a slow cooker.
Exactly. You just toss everything into a slow cooker before work and forget it.
Yeah.
But medium implies that there is active culinary architecture happening. You are likely doing some specific staging.
Right. You aren't just boiling water. You have to be present.
Exactly. You are engaged in the process. You are probably doing some precise chopping, creating a specific sequence of adding ingredients to the pot, or, you know, managing the heat levels to ensure the broth develops its depth in a relatively short amount of time.
Because 40 minutes isn't that long for a stew.
No, it's not. You don't have 8 hours to let the ingredients get to know each other, so you have to force that flavor development actively over 40 minutes.
And what about the spice level? How does a dish meant for a military base end up being officially categorized as mild? I would think you'd want a fiery kick to wake everyone up.
Well, that goes back to the idea of morale. In a military context, or really any high-stress institutional context, food isn't just caloric fuel.
Right.
It is one of the only sources of comfort and morale available. So a mild spice level indicates a stew designed for broad, universal appeal.
Ah, I see.
It's meant to be comforting, warming, and deeply satisfying, rather than challenging the palate with an aggressive, punishing heat. The base of the broth usually uses gochujang, which is a fermented chili paste, and gochuguru, the Korean chili flakes.
Okay.
And they provide this really beautiful, earthy, savory warmth rather than a sharp burn. If you make it too spicy, you alienate half the base. Mild makes it a unifying dish. It wraps its arms around everyone at the table.
I really love that concept, unifying dish. It's meant to bring the whole unit together, regardless of their individual spice tolerance.
Exactly.
So we have this accessible 40-minute stew that requires some active kitchen staging, aiming for a mild, comforting flavor profile. But honestly, the most shocking part of this entire data set isn't the translation, and it isn't the time frame.
No, it's the ingredients.
It's what actually goes into the pot. Or, to be incredibly precise, what the baseline stats say does not go into the pot.
This is the part of the data that really challenges our conventional expectations of what makes a stew, especially an army stew.
I cannot emphasize this enough to you listening right now. The source material we are analyzing explicitly states the dietary parameters, and they are absolutely wild given the name of the dish.
Yeah, read them out.
The data confirms, unequivocally, no pork,
yeah.
No beef, no chicken, no seafood.
It explicitly excludes every single one of the traditional fresh proteins you would naturally expect to find anchoring a hearty stew.
Right. And furthermore, it officially confirms that a vegetarian alternative is a yes.
Which is huge.
It is highly officially adaptable.
Yeah.
As for allergens or specific religious and dietary restrictions, the data marks them all as not specified.
Which is a profound piece of information when you are analyzing the mechanics of a recipe.
So what does this all mean? We have an army stew that explicitly lists zero beef, zero pork, zero chicken, and zero seafood in its core profile.
Right.
When I read that, I was genuinely baffled. When I think of stew, the entire foundation is meat. I think of a massive chuck roast or a fatty pork shoulder or bone-in chicken thighs slowly breaking down in a broth, you know, releasing collagen and fat to give the stew its body.
Of course.
This recipe reads like a stealth mission. It's a hearty, morale-boosting stew that somehow manages to deliver profound comfort without relying on a single one of the traditional fresh proteins you'd expect a military kitchen to lean on.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it reveals the sheer culinary brilliance of this dish's underlying structure and a lot of cultural context, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, so for you, the home cook, finding a stew profile that excludes fresh pork, beef, chicken, or seafood and openly embraces a vegetarian alternative tells you something vital about how flavor works here. It implies that the true soul of Budae Jjigae does not live in a specific cut of fresh meat.
Right, because historically they didn't have access to fresh meat.
Exactly. Post-war Korea, fresh meat was incredibly scarce, so they relied on what they could get from the American military bases.
Oh, like the processed meats?
Yes. Spam, hot dogs, baked beans. They took those processed, heavily salted meats and integrated them into a Korean flavor profile with kimchi and that gochuguru we mentioned.
That is so resourceful.
It really is. And because the flavor comes from those highly seasoned processed elements, or the fermented kimchi and the robust broth, the dish itself is incredibly modular.
I see.
You can just swap those processed meats out for tofu or mushrooms, and boom, you have that officially confirmed vegetarian alternative.
I was trying to think of a way to describe this modularity, and it almost feels like an open source operating system for a computer.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, like the broth and the method that 40-minute active staging we talked about, that is the code. That's the operating system. And the ingredients you put into it are just the hardware. You can plug in whatever hardware you have on hand, like spam or hot dogs or tofu, and the operating system still runs perfectly.
Right.
It doesn't crash just because you didn't install the fresh beef plug-in.
That is a brilliant analogy. Think about a classic Western stew, like a beef bourguignon. In a dish like that, the beef is the foundational architecture.
Right. If you take out the beef, you just have wine sauce.
Exactly. The entire recipe collapses. You don't have beef bourguignon anymore. The meat is doing all the heavy lifting for the flavor and the texture.
But here, the explicit absence of these traditional fresh meats in the core data tells us that the soul of Budae Jjigae lies entirely in its liquid medium, its mild seasoning, and its sheer adaptability.
And its cultural hallmarks, like adding instant ramen noodles right into the boiling broth at the end.
Oh yeah, the noodles are iconic.
Or even melting a slice of American cheese over the top of the stew.
Wait, really? American cheese in a stew?
Yes. It sounds strange to a lot of Western cooks, but it melts into the spicy broth and adds this incredible, creamy, rich body to it. It perfectly balances the tang of the kimchi.
That is so clever. It empowers you.
Yeah.
You aren't bound by a rigid mathematical formula where missing one ingredient ruins the dinner.
Exactly. It empowers you to view the stew as a flexible canvas. And for folks outside Korea, that means substitutions are easy. Don't have Korean sausage. Use whatever mild sausage you have. The fact that allergens and dietary restrictions are not specified reinforces this modularity.
Right.
It suggests a recipe where you, the cook, are in total control of the variables. You aren't desperately trying to find a specific expensive cut of meat at the grocery store to make it authentic.
Because the authenticity is in the method.
Exactly. If you want to make a robust plant-based version, the official stats say yes, absolutely. The dish survives the translation from a harsh military environment to a modern home kitchen precisely because its identity is rooted in the method rather than the protein.
It's incredibly liberating. You aren't going to ruin the authenticity of the dish by leaving out the chicken or the beef, because the core identity itself doesn't demand them. It's a masterclass in making something greater than the sum of its parts, even when those parts are incredibly humble. Mm-hmm. You're building deep flavor through the alchemy of that 40-minute active simmer, the careful layering of those mild spices, and the sheer utility of the cooking process itself.
And, you know, we should mention common mistakes home cooks make since we're talking about the method.
What's the biggest pitfall?
The biggest mistake is just using plain water for the broth and expecting it to taste like a restaurant.
Oh, that makes sense.
Since you aren't simmering a beef bone for 10 hours, you need to start with a good base. An anchovy or a kelp stock is traditional, but even a good quality vegetable or chicken bouillon gives you that head start. You need that umami base to support the kimchi and the spices.
Because like we said, how do you actually build umami and depth in 40 minutes without rendering fresh meat fat? It has to be in the aromatics, the staging, and the way the broth is constructed from the beginning.
It requires a complete paradigm shift for a lot of cooks. We are so deeply conditioned to believe that center-of-the-plate proteins define a meal.
Oh, totally.
If someone asks what's for dinner, you usually answer with the protein. We're having chicken. We're having beef.
Always.
This dish decenters the protein entirely. It elevates the collective harmony of the stew itself. The broth is the star. The unifying warmth is the star.
And that ties perfectly back to the name. Military-based stew. It's not beef stew. It's a stew defined by the environment it was created in, an environment where you had to be resourceful, where you had to build flavor out of whatever was available, like processed meats or tofu, without relying on the luxury of a slow-braised roast.
It proves that culinary depth doesn't always come from expensive ingredients or day-long cooking times. Sometimes it comes from the pure ingenuity of the cook who figures out how to maximize flavor in 40 minutes using a highly adaptable framework.
So let's synthesize all of this raw data for you, the listener, as you think about bringing this into your own kitchen.
Okay.
If you are stepping up to the stove tonight to make boudin jjigae, you are committing to a 40-minute medium difficulty culinary project.
Right.
You are going to be actively engaged, doing some precise staging, managing the heat, building that flavor actively. But you'll be rewarded with a mild, deeply comforting, unifying stew.
And most importantly, you are engaging with a piece of culinary history, one that carries the rugged, resourceful legacy of a military base, while simultaneously surprising you with an incredibly adaptable foundation.
Yeah.
It completely excludes the rigid necessity for traditional fresh meats like pork, beef, and chicken, and it easily accommodates a vegetarian diet without losing its core identity.
It's the ultimate flexible comfort food. It was born from harsh necessity, sure, but it is absolutely perfect for a modern Tuesday night dinner where you just need something warm, engaging, and adaptable to whoever happens to be sitting at your table. It's a dish that works with you, not against you.
Which leaves us with a really fascinating philosophical question to ponder long after your stove is turned off tonight.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we've seen that a dish's identity can be so robust, so undeniable, that it retains the heavy, rugged title of army stew, even when it is adapted into a completely vegetarian format without any traditional meats at all.
Right.
So does that mean the true essence of comfort food isn't about the specific ingredients at all? Is it possible that the real flavor we crave when we sit down to a bowl of stew is actually just the resourceful, unifying spirit in which the food was cooked?
That is a brilliant thought to leave on. The spirit of the dish over the strictness of the recipe. We want to thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the source material today. We hope unpacking the raw data behind boudin jjigae has inspired you to look at stews and maybe even your own kitchen logistics a little differently. We highly encourage you to take this newfound culinary knowledge, embrace the adaptability, and try bringing this resourceful, open-source spirit into your own cooking. Until next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.